You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome in. Let's play it on a Wednesday, March 20th and a Thursday, March 21st. It is another installment of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast, a network. Matt Derry with you, and you can follow me on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks. Get the podcast there or the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. We always appreciate your comments on whatever we discussed the previous day or that day on Locked On Lions. Got to thank Andrew Adams, one of the newest Lions free agents, the safety, formerly of the Tampa Bay Bucks, for joining us yesterday. And if you missed that conversation from Tuesday, please find it and listen to it. By the way, you can get Locked On Lions on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Lions. Again, Matt Derry with you, joining you on this rainy Wednesday into Thursday. A lot to discuss today here on Locked On Lions. I have a very, very important question to ask as we get closer to the draft, about a month and a week away. And we'll get into that question momentarily, but let me just throw it out there first. Who's going to be the backup quarterback to Matthew Stafford? What is going on in Allen Park when it comes to Matthew Stafford's backup? We'll get into that momentarily right here on Locked On Lions. Also, you wouldn't believe who visited the Lions recently, and we didn't know this until today. The famous, the infamous ex-Notre Dame linebacker who once had a fake girlfriend. We'll tell you about the visit from one Manti Te'o coming up in a little bit here on Locked On Lions. Also, after we recorded yesterday, some pretty big news. The Lions are after one of the L.A. Rams running backs. We'll tell you who that is, and a Dave Burkett latest mock that has the Lions taking a defensive tackle at number 8 in the draft, a guy that can play tackle and end. All of that today right here on the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Lions. Thank you for tuning in today on this rainy, rainy, wet Wednesday into Thursday. All right, so we're going to get into Manti Te'o. We'll talk about this running back situation for the Lions and who they are after and what this entails in a second. Also, that Dave Burkett mock. But you know, every single day it just seems like something's going on with the quarterback situation around the league. Meaning there are players that are constantly getting gobbled up in free agency. Not the best quarterback crop when it comes to free agents this offseason, that's for sure. I mean, really, two guys are going to be starters from this free agent class. Nick Foles, who left the Philadelphia Eagles to get gobs and gobs of money from the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, who recently signed a two-year deal with the Miami Dolphins. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic, is making its way from Tampa Bay a little bit south to Miami. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet when it's come to free agent quarterbacks and starters. Until recently, you know, when every single day it seems like a team is adding quarterback depth or a backup quarterback. Today, for example, I just happened to notice Trevor Siemian is signing a one-year contract to be the backup quarterback for Sam Darnold with the New York Jets. Siemian, of course, played for Denver and was a starter for a little while there. Blake Bortles, Jacksonville Jaguars former starter, now with the L.A. Rams. He gets a one-year, $1 million deal to back up Jared Goff with the Rams. Tyrod Taylor, ex of the Browns, got hurt last year and then got benched for Baker Mayfield. He's going from Cleveland to the L.A. Chargers. Siemian, by the way, I didn't even realize this. I forgot Trevor Siemian was with the Vikings last year. Teddy Jam for me, Bridgewater, staying with the Saints to be the backup for Drew Brees. Ryan Griffin, whoever that is, signing a two-year deal with the Bucks. Josh McCown, age 40, looking for a new home. A.J. McCarron recently, and I think it was Burkett that tweeted this out the other day. What about A.J. McCarron at age 28 to be a backup to Matt Stafford? No, he goes to Houston instead and signs with the Texans. Matt Schaub, who's 38 years old, re-up with the Falcons. Brett Hundley, ex of the Seahawks and Packers, going to the Cardinals on a one-year deal. So all of these quarterbacks are finding new homes, and they're going to be backups in all of these different places. But what about the Lions? How come the Lions haven't made a move at backup quarterback? Now, of course, there was this discussion pretty recently that the Lions, and there was that report that the Lions were talking to at the combine, both Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. And I told you, and I will continue to preach it and continue to believe it, I'm not buying any of this stuff about the Lions looking to replace Matthew Stafford anytime soon with any of these rookies at number eight. But what I do find interesting is, why haven't the Lions signed a veteran backup quarterback? Matt Castle will be gone. Geno Smith is available. Brock Osweiler, Robert Griffin III, Blaine Gabbert, Kevin Hogan, David Fales, Josh McCown, Mike Glennon, Colin Kaepernick. Shh, can't say that name on the podcast. Colin Kaepernick. Not that anybody's going to sign Colin Kaepernick. We know he's been blackballed by the league. But find it interesting, the Lions are without a backup quarterback on March 20th. Now, it may mean nothing. It might mean something. I don't know. But if the Lions are going to draft a quarterback, I just hope it's not for window dressing, because that's what the Lions have done recently under Bob Quinn. You know, drafting Jake Rudock, who can't play. No offense, Michigan fans. Come on. Jake Rudock was a very good college quarterback at the end of his career at Michigan, and Jim Harbaugh did wonders with him his senior year. They drafted Brad Kaya, which I told you that minute of that day when the Lions drafted him 2 years ago, I believe in the seventh round, that it was a complete and utter waste of time. That Brad Kaya could not play in the NFL, and the Lions found that out rather quickly. But would the Lions be willing to draft a quarterback as a prospect, a developmental piece behind Stafford, but higher than you think? Could the Lions draft a quarterback in the third round or fourth round? Saw today Adam Schefter reported about Dwayne Haskins. Going to work out for Oakland and Miami in Columbus. Going to visit Washington, Denver, and the New York Giants, which he should. Don't see the Lions' name on that list now. And now we'll figure out if the Lions are really serious about Haskins and Murray, or if that was just a smokescreen, as I called it, at the combine. But I'm interested in your thoughts on this at Derry Speaks on Twitter and the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Why haven't the Lions signed a veteran backup quarterback? Are they just going to bring Matt Castle back? I highly doubt that. Now, Matthew Stafford has taken pretty much every snap the last 3-4 years. He's been very, very healthy, knock on wood. But does this mean, this lacking of signing a veteran, does this mean that Bob Quinn, his scouting department, his staff, are going to be drafting a quarterback higher than we think? Meaning second round, third round, fourth round. I think the guess is they're going to draft somebody, but likely fifth, sixth, seventh round developmental, whatever. We'll find out how serious they are about this backup quarterback and about developing a young guy pretty soon, because the draft is coming up in a matter of weeks, 4 or 5 weeks to be exact, and I cannot wait for that. All right, the Lions got a surprise visitor, at least a surprise to many of us. We'll tell you who that is coming up next. Matt Derry with you on this Wednesday into Thursday. You're listening to Locked On Lions. Welcome back, everybody. Locked On Lions for another day here as we're talking about your Detroit Lions. And the news of the day was certainly interesting today when it was reported that free agent linebacker, Manti Te'o, yes, that Manti Te'o, is making the rounds looking for a new home after spending the last couple of years with the New Orleans Saints. And Manti Te'o visited Alan Park recently to talk to the Detroit Lions. Of course, the Lions are looking for linebacker depth. Mike Triplett, who covers the Saints, said Lions hosted Saints free agent linebacker Manti Te'o on a visit per Field Yates. Te'o had also had a scheduled visit with the Raiders per Ian Rappaport. Probably expendable in New Orleans because of depth at middle linebacker, but still a quality player. Te'o, a free agent, played 2 years with the New Orleans Saints, and you look at the numbers. 2 years ago at the Saints, played in all 16 games, started 10 of them, had 62 tackles, 3 passes defended. Injuries this year limited him. Later in the year, he got healthy and played pretty well. If I'm talking about bringing in a middle linebacker to go next to Jared Davis, it would not be Manti Te'o. Former, late first-round pick of the Chargers back in the day. His career never really, was what people thought. And I asked Brett Whitefield today, our friend from Pro Football Focus. I said, Brett, what does PFF think of Manti Te'o? And Brett wrote to me today and said his last two seasons have been by far his best, according to Pro Football Focus. He had a nice, overall grade of 74.9 last year with a coverage grade of 75.3. Now, if you know anything about PFF, if you're in the 70s, that's pretty good. TJ Lang was in the 70s, and he was the Lions' best guard last year in terms of grades. 4 years in San Diego, his best, his total overall grade at linebacker was 50.7. So over the last 2 years, he's made strides playing for the Saints. He ranked 21st among 83 qualifiers over the last two seasons when it came to Pro Football Focus grade Manti Te'o. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather the Lions draft Devin White at number 8 than be wasting any free agent dollars on Manti Te'o. You look at the Lions linebacking core right now, Christian Jones is back, Jared Davis is back, Devon Kennard is kind of a rush and edge linebacker, but that's another guy that is on the depth chart for Detroit. But I would say no to somebody like Manti Te'o, who I just never thought was that good. And if I'm looking at the Lions and I'm watching what the Lions do when it comes to defending tight ends, defending running backs in the passing game and stopping the run, I just don't see a lot of speed at linebacker. Will Steve Longa be back? Will Kelvin Shepard be back? What about Jalen Reeves-Maybin, who, of course, was drafted in the fourth round a couple of years ago? The Lions need some speed at linebacker. Jared Davis can run, but I think he runs better from the outside. Manti Te'o? Going into year 7? No. No, thank you. And I know it's great from the Saints and the PFF people like him. I'm saying no to Manti Te'o, who, of course, is best known for his days at Notre Dame and being catfished by some individuals and some woman where he thought he was dating, had a girlfriend online. That was a weird, very strange story. But neither here nor there. I just don't think he's that good of a football player. And if he was really, really good, wouldn't the Saints be bringing him back? So that's one to take a look at. For sure, but I would say no to Manti Te'o at this time. All right, welcome back to Locked On Lions. Matt Derry with you. The news of the day from yesterday, very, very interesting. The Lions taking a look at Kansas City running back Spencer Ware on Monday, but on Tuesday night, it was reported by Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback that the Lions have signed Rams restricted free agent running back Malcolm Brown to an offer sheet. The Rams have 5 days, so they have until Monday, to decide whether or not they're going to match the offer or not. According to Breer, it's a 2-year contract worth $3.25 million with $1 million guaranteed and a $100,000 signing bonus. The Rams, because he's a restricted free agent, like we said earlier, the Rams have an opportunity to match the offer. Now, L.A. just signed Clay Matthews yesterday to a reported 2-year $16.75 million deal. So the Rams do not have a lot of cap space remaining, close to only about $7 or $8 million, and the Lions are sitting at about $27 million right now in cap space. So I like Malcolm Brown. I've seen him play before. He was the backup running back to Todd Gurley for 2 years, and then last year was the backup early in the season, then got hurt, missed the remainder of the season, and so, of course, the Rams went out and got C.J. Anderson, and Brown had to, kind of sit and watch from the sidelines. But this is a guy that's got some speed, got some size, a little bit different than Spencer Ware. I think Spencer Ware is more of a scat back than, let's say, Malcolm Brown, who I think is a bigger back. But I like this. This is a guy that averaged you know, a couple years ago, or before he got hurt last year, 4.9 yards per carry, is a special teamer, very good blocker out of the backfield. So I'm all for this. I like the Lions being aggressive and going after winning players. Brown's been in a winning program with the Rams, playing behind Todd Gurley. Look, the Lions need depth at running back. Zach Zenner and his one-year deal, and you love the good doctor Zach Zenner, but he's a third running back. Malcolm Brown, to me, is a step above Spencer Ware and a guy that just needs an opportunity. And as a backup to Kerryon Johnson, and we know this, folks, Kerryon's been injury-prone. Whether it was at Auburn or last year with the Lions, I like this move for Detroit. It's aggressive. Let's see if the Rams, match the deal and block him from going to Detroit. But I think it's a solid move for the Lions, and I am all for a guy like Malcolm Brown getting an opportunity with Detroit for sure to be a backup to Kerryon Johnson. So it's not like I've seen a ton of Malcolm Brown, but what I've seen of him and when I've seen him out there, I definitely think he can play. And oh, by the way, the Lions may be taking a look at some running backs from Alabama, Michigan, or even Georgia. Because today, Bob Quinn was at the Georgia Media Day. We've talked about Evander Holyfield, son of Georgia, who had a terrible, by the way, terrible 40 time at the Combine. But I'm interested. I'm definitely interested in seeing what the Lions are thinking at running back, but I think the Malcolm Brown signing would be good, and I'm definitely all for it. All right, Mock Draft 2.0 from our buddy Dave Burkett at the Free Press. Let's get to it. No, I'm not reading why Carlos Monterez thinks the Lions should draft Kyler Murray. I love when the Freep sometimes has you. You're on their website looking at it, and then they kind of invite you to read something else. I'll pass on that Monterez piece. All right, Dave Burkett's Mock Draft 2.0. Kyler Murray, number one to Arizona. San Francisco, number two, takes Nick Bosa. Jets at number three, Josh Allen. Raiders at number four, Montez Sweat. How about that? Wow. Montez Sweat at four? That's very high. Quinnen Williams at number five. The defensive tackle from Alabama to Tampa Bay. Rashawn Gary at number six to the Giants. Jacksonville at number seven, taking Devin White, which would just suck. That would just be the worst if Devin White went one pick before Detroit, because then we all would be saying, see, all the Lions had to do was lose. All they had to do was lose in week 17 to the Packers, and we would have had Devin White. That's the guy that I want. I think pitting him alongside Jared Davis would be great, and it would continue kind of this trend that the Lions are trying to really add some athletes and some speed to that defense. So with Gary being off the board, with Williams being off the board, with Sweat being off the board, with Josh Allen being off the board, all those guys off the board, Burkett has the Lions taking Ed Oliver, the defensive tackle from Houston. Here's what Dave writes. Quote, I had one scout tell me Oliver will be at his best if he goes to a team that will use him like the Patriots use Trey Flowers. Voila. Oliver didn't have a great 2018, but he can play just about anywhere on the D-line, and the Lions still need help up front. With other top options off the board, this is a player Matt Patricia can use on defense. What I find interesting, too, about what Berkey has here is he's got T.J. Hockenson going to Buffalo at number nine, one pick after Detroit. Dwayne Haskins, according to this mock, would still be on the board for the Lions if they wanted to dangle that pick for a trade. Again, I don't think Detroit is going to make a deal. I would love to see the Lions make a deal. I'm not so sure they're going to do that, but I don't think the Lions are going to be taking any kind of quarterback there. Among some of the players that the Lions would be passing in Burkett's mock draft, Juwan Taylor, the offensive tackle from Florida. Again, Lions need a starting right guard. I'm not saying that Taylor would be the guy to move there, but you never know. A DK Metcalf, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, would be going to Green Bay. Greedy Williams at 14 to Atlanta. Christian Wilkins, the D-tackle from Clemson, 16 to Carolina. And Jonah Williams, the big offensive lineman from Bama, who could play probably guard or tackle, going number 17 to the Giants. So definitely intriguing. And Ed Oliver, to me, was a disappointment last year for as dominant as he was supposed to be for the Houston Cougars. I'm not so sure I would be taking a D-tackle at eight with the Lions' depth that they have, especially a D-tackle right now. With A'shaun Robinson, with Snacks Harrison, and with Deshaun Hand, But again, they're going to rotate a lot of guys in. Maybe they feel like Oliver's a guy that can move inside and outside. And, you know, he would be the best available player. And I think that's where Burkett is thinking and where he's going with this idea. Now, again, the question would the Lions be taking Oliver over Hockenson? And would the Lions think that Hockenson is the best guy for it? We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, I'm not so sure Detroit doesn't go offensive lineman in the first round and take a guard or even a tackle that they can move to guard. And then you've got your O-line, pretty much all draftees. And then you've got Rick Wagner, who, of course, was a free agent signing. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but I just have a distinct feeling that that's a possibility for Detroit at number 8. We know this now. It appears that Justin Coleman is going to be the guy opposite of Darius Slay, unless they take Greedy Williams or another cornerback, Byron Murphy, at number 8. I just don't see that. I could see the Lions trading down and getting a corner later. So we'll have to wait and see on that. All right, coming up tomorrow, by the way, on Locked On Lions, Colin Cowherd had a very interesting comment today about NFC North predictions post-free agency. And it's not a good one if you're a Lions fan. We'll talk about that tomorrow and more. We'll see if the Lions make any moves in the next 24 hours. Thank you for listening and joining us here on Locked On Lions. And again, a reminder. You can get subscribed to this podcast on the new Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Lions. Matt Derry with you for this Wednesday to Thursday. If you missed Andrew Adams yesterday, the new Lions free safety pickup in free agency, take a listen to him. He was great yesterday. We appreciate his time. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.